You're listening to Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
And reproduction. I am Jehovah, that is my name. I am the God of the seraphim. I am the God of all flesh. I am the vine. I am the artist that all artisans draw from. I am Adonai Eloheinu, there is none other. I am the God of the cherubim. I am the foundation of the world. I am invisible, yet all creation speaks of me. I am God. I want you to understand and know me. I am, and you are my witnesses. I am glorified in you. I am God who made you a sign to the unbeliever. I am more than all structures of steel, mortar, and clay. I am jealous over you. I am the exalted head over all. I am God who is joined to the foreigner. I am God who speaks face to face. I am the sovereign ruler of all creation. I am your next breath. I am the light of the world. I am God, and all that is in heaven and in earth is mine. I am Emmanuel, God dwelling among men. I am high and lifted up by all creation. I am the outpoured spirit on all flesh. I am he who rejoices with those who rejoice. I am the only creator of all that exists. I am savior of both the Gentiles and the Jews. I am he before whom every knee will bow.
Well, thank you, everyone, for coming to my birthday party. Oh, gee, great. You know, I really needed another, a tie.
Oh, yeah. Hey there, Jim. That's no problem. You know, I saw that, and I said to myself, hey, Jim wears shirts and stuff, so I'm thinking, shirts, a tie, it's perfect. A match made in heaven.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Wait, sweetie. Here's one more gift for you.
What is it, honey?
Just open it.
Hey, it's a Bible. I've been wanting one, and it's got my name on it.
This is no ordinary Bible. It's the Personal Promise Bible. It doesn't just have your name on it. It's got your name inside it, too.
Let's see. John 3:16. For God so loved Jim. Wow, this is cool.
Check out Proverbs 18:22.
Wow. When Jim found Linda, he found a good thing. I sure did. Thanks, honey.
The Personal Promise Bible, the most thoughtful gift you could ever find. Call toll-free to get your Personal Promise Bible. 1-866-847-7731. A Bible as unique as you are. Online at personalpromisebible.com.
Yeah. You have just tuned in to WSCIROC, Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston on Blog Talk Radio, and I am Dr. Shirley Kenneth, one of your general managers and co-host of Faith Talks Live Prayer. Today is Tuesday, actually not Tuesday, it's Monday, September 10th, 2012, at approximately 12:38 a.m., okay, and we have had a doozy of a summer, and I just want to let you know I'm a new grandma. Yeah, that's right. My daughter, my oldest daughter, Jacqueline Marie, had given birth to my first granddaughter, my first grandchild, and her name is Kristen Louise, and she's a beautiful baby. She's got blue eyes and all these multinational nations in her. Gosh, let's say she's got some Italian in her, and German, and Cape Verdean, and Haitian, and from my side of family, Mexican. I think I said Cape Verdean. There's the Jewishness background and the Irish background. All these wonderful things that in her bloodline, as she truly represents the melting pot of the United States of America. She's a true American. By today's standards. So, but not only an American. She is a child of God. That is right. Child of God first, American second. And that's the priority that we all should take. That's the stance that we should all take. There's a lot of things happening. Just want to say that this summer has definitely been a summer of transition. Let's see. We moved from one place to another. As the Lord led us by His Holy Spirit. And then shortly after that, I had Dr. Shirley's appendix had failed her. But is it really a failure? Because they took that out, and plus the poisons and toxins, and I'm alive. I survived it. So praise the Lord for all the good things He's done. And my sister told me that my mother had lost her appendix at 51. So whatever the genetic disposition is in our family, the appendix goes at 51, so I'm glad to see it go. And it's so funny. I told my doctor today. I was in so much pain. This is like the second day out. The first day out of the hospital. Just the first day. I went to my primary care physician to let her know because it was not in the same plan in the same hospital that the group of doctors that I go to go. And I told my doctor. I said I feel like I gave him. I had a C-section. And then there's no baby, but I said I give him birth to a baby appendix, and he goes, "Yes, 2 ounces of it." So you gotta have some sense of humor. That's part of the healing, right? So, anyways, all right. At the top of the hour, we did something a little different. But at the top of the hour, yes, John Paul Jackson came on with from his album I Am, and it was creatures, God of the creatures, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about God's creation, us creatures, okay, human creatures, who are made in His image, and we're going to talk about the purpose of what the Lord wants to do now. The Lord had given me a revelation about what He's going to do through dream and vision, and the coming move of the Holy Spirit, and I got very excited about it because it was very, very detailed. Okay, and it's very important for us to talk about this in this Winds of Change Part 3. He was in a hospital, all right? He gave me a revelation about the leanings of the one who is to be a president of the United States in 2013, based on Abraham Lincoln. It doesn't point to a particular party, but he kind of gave me a description of the heart of the president, okay, so of the president-elect, to be elected. And I thought that was really wild, because many people, especially believers, oftentimes, especially leaders that are believers, that are very prophetic, you know, some fall into the trap of wanting to be the kingpin of the prophetic and just blurt it all out at once, while others take a very cautious stance, and as they walk in integrity and dignity of the time that we are living in, are more or less, I don't want to say cautious, but I want to say very careful as to how the prophetic word is delivered, especially when it comes to describing what's happening in the political realm, because the Lord calls us to be prophetic and not to be political, and not prophetic and not to bend into that arena or realm. But there was something the Lord showed me about Abraham Lincoln's life, that he filled in the blanks in my awakening life and what that the meaning of that dream it was and is. Okay, so I just, all I know is that the Lord loves His people so much, the Lord loves us very much, that that He wants to be formed fully in us. And the reasons why there's so much turmoil in the body of Christ, in crisis, all right, in our families, is because we don't take the time to pray, and specifically, we don't take the time to pray this specific prayer, that Christ would be formed more fully in us. And this is what the Lord is saying that's happening, it's going to be happening in this next move, that we are going to, that Christ, His Holy Spirit, is going to form, I should say the Holy Spirit is going to form, the Holy Spirit whom Jesus sent to the church, okay, is going to form Jesus more fully in us. Alright, and we are going to come into that place where we're going to walk in a greater dimension in the character of Christ, in the personality of Christ, and in the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, and some could call it a birth, okay? And I really believe that prophetically, when my appendix burst this summer, let's just say the doctors had said that my appendix was inflamed for a very long time, because by the time they got to it, and the condition that it was in, they were like, I must have taken a lot of pain. They kept commenting to my husband, your wife takes a lot of pain, and that's incredible about the pain that she can endure. And I was trying to figure out why, and then they came to me and they said, your appendix bursted a while ago, and here I am, I was still standing. But what happened was, you know, my body needed to give up that bad, you know, thing that was getting in the way of, you know, homeostasis in the body, and, you know, in my physical body, and however the Lord protected me, because I know He did, it was time for it to leave. It was time for the junk to leave. It was time for the poison to leave and the toxins to leave, because something better, something greater is come in, and that is a new me, a new formed, healthy me, and that's what. So, how it is in the natural is how it is spiritually, or I should say, spiritual precedes the natural. Okay, so you look at, you know, what God's doing in natural body, and it kind of points to what the Lord's doing spiritually. Okay, and what I get a sense that is happening is that the Lord, in order for His Holy Spirit to be more effective in all of our lives, okay, in order for that to happen, we got to come into agreement with what He's wanting to do and what He's beginning to do by making ourselves ready. And it says in Revelation 7, and I'm going to get that scripture right now. Yeah, let me get my glasses, put those on. Okay, so that's Revelation 7. Right now, Tribulation, but very shortly I will be in Revelation. The last book of the New Testament, for those who don't really know where it is. That means you need to read your scriptures a little bit more, a lot more, okay? All right. The great multitude in white robe. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and who serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never will they thirst, never again will they thirst." I just said that again. "The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Amen. So, you know, that is part one of preparing oneself for being ready to receive what the Holy Spirit has to offer as he forms Christ in us more fully, okay? And that may be different for many people. It may be people who need to go to confession if you're a Catholic, and fast and pray for the Lord's Holy Spirit to strip you of things that get in the way. You know, he's just going to yank it out of you, just like my appendix was yanked out of me. And then, ironically, I had an open wound on my side for a while, for days. And I had some unique encounters in the hospital, but I'm going to address that in another show entitled The Lost Art of Suffering, because there's something about suffering that the Lord had showed me, and it was very effective when I did exactly what he told me to do on behalf of his people. And this is a ministry that seems to be ignored in this day and age, but it's very essential very essential tool that the Lord will use in the coming days to bring you to the end of yourselves, so that His Holy Spirit can form Jesus Christ in you more fully. All right, that's another kind of birth. That's another kind of birthing process. All right, well, before I went into Revelation, I was introducing the show, and I wanted to talk about the artist at the top of the hour, John Paul Jackson, and then Bono of U2. You know, over the years, since the 70s, since the start of U2, okay, many people who knew them personally, and who, you know, and when you read the legacy of U2 and the biography of U2, they said as a Christian young man who wanted to be a voice and use the music industry to bring out the social justice issues of the day. Okay, and as time went on, they became activists. And I just wanted to share with you what someone from YouTube.com sent me, because I was always wondering, you know, with all the lyrics that are in YouTube, and a lot of their songs, it just seemed like every time I listened to this song, because the Lord had me listening to this song from U2:18, like for the last 3 weeks, and I was just getting ministered to, and I'm thinking, what's up with these guys? You know, they don't want to, you know, to be considered a Christian group yet. You know, a lot of their songs come from the heart of the Lord. And I was always wondering, what does the rest of mainstream Christianity think about this in America? And also, what are people saying? And I brought that to prayer, and all of a sudden, as an answer to prayer, the Lord sends me the answer through email. And it's quite amazing what was written. I'm just going to go to something that I had drafted for Facebook as a result of that email, and it was quite amazing, because this is totally in the Holy Ghost, alright, here we go. I'm just going to read the article. Okay, and where is it? I thought I had it here. What was it? Why is it not there? It's got to be here. It has to be. All right. Technology is nothing like it. I'm going to my Facebook page. I've edited this. It has to be. Why isn't it here? Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I've put it on my... Okay, yeah. Let me read it right now. Okay. It says, U2 has been provoking audiences, including Christians, since they began playing in the 1970s. They made it pretty clear their influence early on, taking on social justice concerns and explored the depth of pop culture in the 90s. And, of course, some people say, you know, they can't, you know, walk, you know, when you're a Christian. I'm not just talking about U2, but, you know, if you want to give a clear message, you've got to stay on this side of the line. You can't walk the line. But I'm telling you, Jesus walked the line. He drew the line in the middle of the sand, and he walked it. He not only drew a line in the middle of the sand when it came to the woman caught in adultery, accused by the very men that she probably, you know, that the adulteress probably slept with. But as this was happening, as they were recounting her sins, Jesus drew a line in the sand, okay? And he walked the line. That line was a line of challenge. It was a line of demarcation. It was a line of challenging men's hearts. Okay, here we go. It says, U2 has been a staple in sermons across the country, across denominations, and across generations. Get Up Off Your Knees is a collection of sermons from the U2 catalog written by several authors. Co-editor Beth Maynard is the pastor of the Church of the Good Shepherd in Fairhaven, Massachusetts. And, I mean, here I am from Boston reading this. I'm reading something from, you know, one of the U2 subscribers on U2.com, and this person was one of the collaborators from Fairhaven, Massachusetts. That's really something, huh? Then the other one is Get Off Your Knees. I mean, some of the stuff you can get on YouTube, because you just type in the different songs, and the videos that are, you know, a part of these songs are amazing. They have a good message. U2, to some people, most of the secular world, they don't consider U2 a Christian band, but some of its members are Christians, okay, even though they may not come under that title, technically, because of what comes from their heart. They are Christian, and, you know, and because they have their experience. You know, once you're a Christian, you're baptized, you know, the Father takes you in, and He fills you with His inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He breathes within you with the Holy Ghost, and so you can't help but move and live in Him. But even if you're doing it, you know, if you're only doing a small portion. But I really believe that these guys, they didn't know, because they were young, how the Lord was going to use them, but they were pliable. They were pliable in the hands of the Father, okay? They were pliable, and God used the gift of music in them and perfected them as time goes on. That tells you that the Holy Spirit is very much in this, okay? Because at one point, even though Bono's voice good box, the good voice, V-O-X. That's what it means in Latin, and that's where his name comes from. It's not his real name. His real name is Paul David Hewson. But the idea behind that was, the ironic thing about it is that Bono couldn't sing, but they believed in the message that God put into him in the songs. As over time, Bono's voice became a very powerful voice on the social, as social, you know, in the social justice arenas, and also in the songs that God had given him, the songs that he could sing. So see what happens when you step out of faith. You know, you step out a little bit, and then God perfects. He forms his person in his, in the person, in the vessel, and then the good fruit comes forth. And that's how Jesus is formed in people. But you just don't stop there. You just get, you know, allow his Holy Spirit to move in you and to perfect you as time goes on. So it says, you too have been a stable in sermons across the country, across denominations and across generations. Get Up Off Your Knees is a collection of sermons from the U2 catalog written by several authors, and I already said that. U2 is not a Christian band, but some of its members are Christians with significant fluency in the vocabulary of the Christian tradition. Thus, throughout their work, U2 naturally raises and wrestles with spiritual questions like we all do, like we all should, using that vocabulary. Like all art, the results have many levels of meaning, and considered from diverse perspectives, especially when you consider that U2's catalog. Preachers are always looking for effective cultural connections that help people grasp the meaning of biblical text. One of the points made was that not only do we take the biblical text out into the world, we bring our life experience and our experience of the world with us when we read biblical text. If you're a fan of U2, when you come to a situation of discouragement, when you need to be encouraged to persevere, you may come to that situation with Walk On in your head. There's just a natural connection. That's a song that Bono sang about. I think it was they did a video on YouTube about when he lost his father a couple of years ago, and you know Bono did this song called Walk On, and it's been used also in the social justice causes of the woman in Burma who was a political prisoner for a long time. Sin Yung, I can't pronounce the name right away. I can see the name in my head. Sin Yung Ji or something like that. But anyways, she, for the longest time, was an activist in Burma who was in house arrest, and a lot of people in Amnesty International all over the world started writing on her behalf for her freedom and praying, and she's free to this very day. So she was a political prisoner. Anyways, so Walk On was the theme behind her release, and also behind anybody who hears this song, who had been in a relationship where there was a lot of betrayal, whether it be political, whether it be in your family, whether it be between you and God, you know. The bottom line is that there's a song in everyone's heart, and lots of times it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and lots of times, if we just listen to the Lord singing over us, it's for our own good, especially when we're open to the Holy Spirit. And lots of times it leads, you know, one into a greater strengthening in the Holy Ghost. And when one is strengthened in their weakness, they can be receive greater clarity. Okay, greater clarity for the call that the Lord has in their life, all right? Instead of giving in to discouragement, these songs have been used as songs of as means of encouragement when all else fails, all right? So So it says further, if you're a fan of YouTube, when you come to a situation of discouragement, when you need to be encouraged to persevere, you may come to that situation with, like we just talked about, regarding a walk-on. There's just a natural connection that you make of these different texts, that these different ways of telling the story of the world that we're in this day and age. And that's what I get from a lot of the U2 songs, that these songs are written for this day and age. It's almost like a modern King David. Bono's like a modern King David. I mean, David is his middle name. And, you know, I'm sure that if King David were brought into this day and age, maybe he would be singing with you too. That's just my opinion. But it says right here, faith in the faithful you too. Tim Hufeld wrote an article, God is in the house. Indeed he is. For the last 3 decades, U2 has written songs of faith, hope, and love, going through phases as most Christians do. Tim pointed out that on 2 albums, How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb and No Line on the Horizon could be considered as U2's grounded work. U2 360 show in Denver had a couple of interesting dynamics going on there. Of course, it was the first show back in the USA after a long winter break. Fans with bent up emotions seemed a bit flat, or were it the idea that the rapture was going to happen during the show period? Secretly, I have overheard some fans longing for it to be true. The ultimate U2 with faith and an MP3 player on her side. She awaits the coming of the Lord, and this is part of the lyrics. Bone on the Boys never claimed to have locked on faith, love, and God, only that one should find peace and why not in God. True that Christians look at U2 and wonder how they can be Christian with drinking and partying and while frankly enjoying life. Clearly, how can they be? Simply put, God is in everyone, and how you choose to live your life is really a choice you make. It's not mine or yours to say this person is more God, like we are all in God's image. U2 only provides the tools for you to make your own choice. We look over Tim's U2 Rapture playlist and believe it's worth a listen. Try it. Just one thought, last thought. The Denver show took a look at this video. And of course you can't take a look on the video on the show, but it says Bono suggested that this is the end of our time, or was it just a part of the song? Either way, it was very interesting to see for the first time, on the stage, Bono reaching his hand across the bridge to Edge. The tresses never touch, and Bono drops a flower. What symbolism, what prophetic faith. Poetic faith. I guess I said something prophetic. But Bono's understanding of the scriptures has been made simply by the person of Christ. Christ teaches that God is love, and that's a quote from Bono. But what they're talking about, this top 10 rapture list tomorrow, this is October 1981. Won't you come back tomorrow? Won't you be back tomorrow? Will you be back tomorrow? Can I sleep tonight? Open up to the love of God, to the love of He who made the blind to see. He's coming back, I believe Him. Jesus is coming, I'm going to be there. Let's see, I'm going to go down further here. Walk on. You're packing a suitcase or a place. None of us has been a place that has to be believed to be seen. Leave it behind. And elevation, all that you can leave behind. You elevate my soul. I lost all self-control. Been living like a mole, now going down excavation. I in the sky, you make me feel like I can fly so high. Elevation. So acknowledging how the Holy Spirit can elevate us from our pits. Okay. So there's a lot of things that are more like parables in the U2 songs, but so aren't the scriptures. And so that's one of the reasons why I included U2 songs that are appropriate to the topic of this show on Faith Talks Live Prayer. Namely, it's a beautiful day, because I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, What can I tell you people today? What's the beginning of the message? He goes, tell them it's a beautiful day, because I'm going to form myself fully in, I'm going to form my son Jesus Christ, which is an extension of himself, you know, the only begotten son, and his people more fully. All right, and then he gave me a dream about that. But we, you know, it's, you know, he wants me, the Father wants me to encourage people to prepare yourself, okay? And he's going to show each and every one of his people. I'm part of, you know, I'm part of, I'm not saying, I'm not setting myself apart, but what it is that's preventing us, okay? He gave me, like I said, a prophetic narrative through my appendix first, and, but, you know, God is good like that. He shows us right where we live, you know. He shows us right where we live. He teaches us through our experience. Let's see, should I go to the dream? I'm going to read something from Galatians 4:8-19 a little towards the end when we get into prayer. But, you know, I just want to say I miss you all, you guys, because, you know, I've been wanting to do the radio show, some of these radio shows in the summertime, and just have not had the time. But, you know, I also got blessed with a better job in my secular career, and it's just good what God's doing. You know, we're now open and available to be able to minister at the hospital that God called us to minister to. And I'm just really, you know, just looking forward to greater things. And you should too, because it's a beautiful day. And the Lord's going to make us beautiful in Him. So we can be the Christ to people in this dying world. To the ones that need it, you know? To the ones that need it. All right, let me talk about the first dream. Vision when I was in a hospital. I just, you know, I'm listening to praise and worship. The songs are being played one after another on the hospital channel, worship channel. And all of a sudden, I'm going in the Holy Spirit, and I was like, is this medication induced? Is this you, Lord? And then all of a sudden, the whole series of visions was just flooding my soul from my spirit man. And one of the things that I saw, and I thought, this is glorious. The Lord brought me into the heavens and opened up the screen, and I saw a vision of Abraham Lincoln. And I never went to the part, when I went to Washington, D.C., and could never have time enough to go to the Lincoln Monument, so I never visited the Lincoln Monument in my physical life, but the Lord showed me the meaning of that honor and the inspiration behind that in this vision. And I saw Lincoln sitting in a special place in the heavens. And the Lord threw over his shoulder the flag of the United States and the flag of Israel. And these angels and all of heaven, they were singing in the heavenly choir, but in tongues. And it was something was being written, like in a Hebraic, under the place that looked like a monument, but was in heaven. So I think whoever did the Lincoln Monument, they must have had a similar vision from what they saw in heaven, and they brought it to the earth and they made a monument. But in heaven, whatever, you know, what Lincoln did in his life was inspired by heaven, and also it gave him a great reward in heaven, a great reward. And because of that, that's one of the reasons why America is alliances, no matter what leader gets in, is very strong between them in Israel. And the Lord is saying it's because of the legacy of Lincoln. And I said, wow. And so when I woke up, I'm like, Lord, why did you give me that dream? And he said to me that the president-elect for this election, okay, is the one that has the same heart that Lincoln had. And if this is, now Lincoln was in the Republican Party of the day, but this is not, this is regardless of the political parties. It has nothing to do with Democrat. It has nothing to do with Republican. It has a lot to do with his, with the Lord's Holy Spirit and what he wants to do. And it's funny that this past week at the Democratic Convention, I was following it from time to time on radio in my job that I do now, and people were emailing me even before I listened to the DNC on the radio, and they were saying, the Democrats took God out, they officially voted God out of their party. And God was, again, God's no respecter of persons, and he's no respecter of political parties, yeah, right? And or any group that people start, you know, God doesn't have to become a part. God is not, you know, he's not exclusive of groups. You know, because he's God. He created the universe. You know, he created the you in you that forms these groups. But he doesn't, you know, he doesn't. There's no such thing as voting God in or voting God out. Okay, but anyways, so. You know, I'm getting all this stuff emailed to me, and then I'm like, well, Lord, you know, I don't know, it didn't faze me, at least. And then all of a sudden, and I hear, you know, the reverse happening, that, you know, that they voted God back in, and as, you know, so this, you know, the ability to talk about God and to be all-inclusive of those who are Christian. And the other thing being is that the relationship between, you know, it was very essential that they took the stance, because I was telling my husband about the relationship between Israel and the United States is a sovereign relationship. And, of course, that dream that I was telling you about earlier confirmed that. But what I'm trying to say is that they had said that... you know, they acknowledge the fact that Jerusalem's the capital of Israel, which is, you know, something that I guess, you know, if you're not certain, it's good to restate it. And I guess President Obama was behind that, because he did not agree with what was going on with voting God in or out. And then Republican Representative Gabriel Giffords had pledged the allegiance. I heard that on the radio. She had led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Okay. And I said to myself, well, you know, God is going to be glorified no matter who gets in, but it's not about the political parties, it's about the heart. It's about Christ being formed more fully in us, you know, coming to that place in this season of preparation to be ready for that. Something powerful, something wonderful is going to happen in 2013. Second dream that confirms what I just said just now is, you know, years ago, before I talk about this dream, years ago I was led of the Holy Spirit to go to Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. For those who take the time to read my bio on YouTube under WSTKITV, and also on several other venues, but I think the other one is on Blog Talk Radio, WSCIRO, it states that I had an incredible God encounter in Toronto in 1994. I had also, at that point, actually not 1994, later, 1999, but in 1994, me and a prayer partner, we had my former landlord, we were praying and fasting for the river to flow and, you know, in the body of Christ throughout the world. And, you know, And all of a sudden, people started getting revelation of the river. And it wasn't just because we prayed it. We know other people were praying it too. We're just in agreement with that. And we kept getting readings from Ezekiel. And God was faithful because there was a move of the Father's love in Toronto, and Heidi Baker was a recipient of that, and God just moved very powerfully, and her and Randy Clark and John and Carol Arnott, and all those people that came alongside of them. And I felt led to go up to Toronto in 1999 because I wanted to see what this is all about, and because I've heard so many people get blessed by the Toronto Blessing, the revelation of the Father's love, and then giving it away. That's when I received the Father's heart. God gave me a new heart in Toronto. So that's my history. So because I needed to recount that, and I thank God for what he's done, for the Lord saying he's doing something, he wants to do something different, he's going deeper, he's getting to the crux of the matter. And so I had this dream, and the way that it went, I was like, the Lord took me in the Holy Ghost, and I'm like, flying and hovering over this building, and then he was lowering me in this building, and as things came into full view, I saw like the heads of people, and then the Lord put there were domes over each person, and then there was flickers of light coming from their head, and I thought, this is really strange, and it looked familiar, because I said, I've been to this place before. Where's this place? It was Toronto. And then John and Carol, Anna, and a few others were praying over the people, but as they were praying, they weren't the ones that were laying their hands on the people. I saw the big arm of the Lord coming upon the people of God, and I could see the transparency of the arm of the Father, and a lot of light going through John Anna, going through Carol, and then I saw the head of Jesus, in the atmosphere, and it was. The head of Jesus is coming over people, and as the head of Jesus is coming over people, the lights were like over them, were like the lights that were coming forth from their heads were getting, it was increasing in the glory. It was like increasing. It was getting brighter and brighter and brighter, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? And I felt such a presence and a surge of the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, whoa. And I woke up, and I asked the Lord, what was that? And he goes, that's the next wave. And I'm like, what's this wave about? And the Lord's saying, sending forth my spirit, my Holy Spirit, upon my people to form Christ more fully in them, so that they can walk in the victory that they're called to do, that destiny and victory. And the other wave was the release of the Father's love, but then this next wave is forming the character of Christ in his people. And many people have been talking about that, but I actually saw it in the Holy Ghost. The other confirmation of that, and this is within a week's time of that revelation. Last Sunday, my husband and I were coming back from Mass. We're practicing Catholics. We came back from Communion at the Shrine. And we're driving down 95 North. We're coming back home. And we're looking up in the sky, and I saw this big, mighty arm, similar to the arm that I saw in a dream vision, and a big hand. And the Lord said, my hand is not too short, as I was beholding the hand in the sky, the long arm in the hand. And then I said to my husband, look, up in the sky, what do you think? He goes, see the arm, yes. And as we saw, as we, you know, acknowledge that the arms of the Lord is not too short, and there's mighty things that are in store for the people of God. It was sunny out. It was a good, a glorious day, and it, in the, it, we, as soon as we saw that and beheld that and came into agreement with that, God was releasing raindrops from heaven. It wasn't a rainstorm. It was more like sprinkled showers. We were expecting to see a rainbow, but nevertheless, it was a blessing. That's what happens when you see vision and then there's showers. And I just felt like the Lord was just showering us with his love at that time, because he wanted to show us that he was still there. He was still there as we stepped out in faith to move, to make the move, the prophetic move that we had to make, and to really be open to what he wants us to do and how he wants us to teach what the Lord's doing. And so we thanked him for that. And God is wonderful. God is glorious. He has a lot of things in store for his people. You know, we can't do salvation on our own. We have to wait on the Lord. And this is a time where the body of Christ is called to wait on the Lord and ask the Lord what it is that's gonna, that's get, would get in the way for receiving Christ more fully and by the Holy Spirit. And it's nothing that we can do. We don't have the power to cultivate the character of Christ more fully in us. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Okay, but that's, there's a greater emphasis on that now, because the world, the dying world, needs God's people to be formed in this manner, in this way. He needs, the society needs for us to really take our walk with the Lord seriously and wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb, okay? And not just say it, but actually doing it, and doing it in the way that's prescribed for each individual, okay? And for each individual person who has an intimate relationship with the Lord, okay? And so we need to pray that, you know, and I'm going to pray this over you, this grace, you know, that you would be open to this grace over you. Because so, the Lord is saying, now I want you to pray every chance you get that the Lord would be formed more fully in the people of God, you know. And you know, people that listen to this are like, well, how does she know? How does Dr. Shirley know this? It's just by revelation. And, you know, whenever the Lord gives me this revelation, it's, then he brings, starts bringing people my way that, you know, that get, are dissatisfied. One of the key ingredients of, you know, the Lord working this out is when people are dissatisfied with their lives, when they're at crossroads and they know they need to make a decision. Some people may have, may feel that they've missed out on you know, the previous move because of their disobedience. So now they're in condemnation. And what do they do now? And, you know, they need to make choices for their family. I had a conversation with a dear friend, with a friend from the past, that when we were all in this particular group, God visited powerfully, because we were worshipers. We're still worshipers. But things got in the way. The human heart got in the way. The human unredeemed part of the human heart got in the way, and, you know, and it got messy. It got messy. God was doing something glorious, and he wanted to go deeper, and it just got so messy, and then the water got stagnant, you know. And what happened was, we had to, you know, be at that point. You know, you start to have, you have to have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I know, as this was happening, the Lord had me and my husband draw back, because it was the prophetic that was being attacked. It was the very life-giving prophetic words of what the Lord wanted to do for that particular group was getting attacked. And that's because Christ, you know, even though it was, things were, you know, this, you know, this, that particular move was of the Lord, and what we were doing as a group collectively was in the Lord. But the other parts that weren't totally surrendered over individually by each human being that supposedly has a relationship with Jesus, that part, you know, ruined, or I should say halted, or slowed down what the Lord wanted to do. It didn't stop what the Lord wanted to do, but it just, you know, slowed the progression down. So it's very essential as to this, that we, by the grace of God, remain open to the working of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives, because this next move is going to put that deposit of glory in us that, you know, is going to transform, not only transform our mind and heart, but our entire being. People, we're not going to even recognize ourselves. And what I'm saying, he's going to be working this, he's going to be doing this work in Toronto. And I just want, ask, Lord, that you just would bless that and wake up your people, send who you want, you know who they are. Lord, just open the heart of the members of the body of Christ to receive this nugget of glory that the Holy Spirit wants to give, so that Christ can be truly formed in us more fully, and we come into that place of dynamic transformation, of completeness. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I'm just feeling such a sense, such a power of the Holy Spirit right now. Oh, we thank you, Lord. I'm just sensing I know the Holy Spirit's not a feeling, but it's more like this feeling, the presence of the Lord very powerfully, experiencing the presence of the Lord powerfully. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for those who will listen to this broadcast. Touch them. Touch all those who started out in a journey of faith and just got, you know, like, distracted by the ways of the world. Oh, Lord, get them back on track. This move is for them. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. All those leaders that grew feeble, and just because they observed, they were just looking at the sins of their people more than they should, Lord. Oh, give them hope, Lord. Give them hope. Give them even greater visions than you've given me regarding this. We thank you, Jesus. Touch them, touch their hearts. Oh, Lord, give them the vision that they would need to walk with these people that are hungry for something new, that are desperate for wisdom from on high to be able to make the decisions they need to make. So the Lord's saying that he's put this halt in your spirit, because this halt is actually going to bring you to that place, the halt of this, you know, of coming to a full stop and saying, this is not working out. I've done this in my own power. Now, Lord, you send forth your Holy Spirit. You recreate me. You form yourself more fully in me. Thank you, Jesus. This is what he wants for you. This is what he wants for you. Wow. Hallelujah. Wow. What a show. And Lord, we just ask that you just touch your people. Touch your people in power and in glory. And for those who want scripture reading to confirm this, I will read from Galatians 4:8-19. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Galatians, okay? This is Paul's concern for the Galatians, and this is many leaders' concern, especially if they're authentic leaders for their people. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not God, with a little g. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to these weak and miserable principles, or these mindsets, or the old nature? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? you are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers, sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? These people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you. So, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. You know, and that's the burden of many leaders when they are given the responsibility to pastor a flock, but also the cry of the human heart, the human spirit. If you find yourself being a parent, like I was speaking to a friend of mine who is a parent and who is a wife, and they had a family, and that's a family. Family life is ministry, and so they're feeling that sense of urgency, of need to make a decision to get back on track, to do what God's called them to do, to be obedient, and not miss the mark. They're getting a sense of the importance of the season. So Lord, I ask that you continually charge your people and bless your people with the sense of urgency, minister to them in the night season, give them clarity as to what it is for each and every one, what their part is, as they prepare their hearts to release things to you that, Lord, that in their own free will, that get in the way, but also to be open to what your Holy Spirit wants to do in them, to form yourself more fully in them. We thank you, Jesus, for the gift of yourself, the gift of who you are, the gift of character, your Holy Spirit character that you want to imprint into our being. We thank you, Lord. Lord, release it in your people now. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Bless your people. Touch your people. Thank you, Lord. Touch me, Lord. I want to receive all that you want from my life, so I can be a blessing to those in my family and those who you have called us to. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we have the ability. You've given us the ability to wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for who you are, the gift of yourself imprinted in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come into our lives in a very special way. In a way that we have not allowed you to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Transform us, Lord, so that the world can be transformed. Thank you, Jesus. So the world can know you. Thank you, Lord. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we're reached the end of this particular show, Winds of Change Part 3. It's a beautiful day, and I sincerely hope and pray that you will all have a beautiful day and a beautiful life. Always. God bless you. Love you. Bye now.
I will not fear, for he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me.
It's a cry for the nation. Let your kingdom come, Lord.